I'm okay. I'm hooked up. Let us look to the Lord again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee during this service, I pray that You will be with me. I pray that what I say will not offend Thee. I pray that people here will get an understanding of the perils that lay before this country because we have forgotten God. Bless us. Help us. Make us a strong nation and a strong church. Be with us this day. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The pastor has asked me to bring a little bit of information on Islam. You'll have to bear with me a little bit because for some reason that's the time my sinuses start acting up. My nose starts running. I start watering. And not only that, I leave the glasses I need at home. So if you see me beat my head on the pew, it's not because I'm going to sleep. It's because I'm trying to read my notes. So anyway, what I'm going to try and bring to you is a little bit about Islam. And the title of this message is Willful Blindness. And let me read this from Genesis 16 and 12. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. This is what the Lord was saying unto Hagar, talking about Ishmael, who was going to become a mighty nation, the Arab nation, whom we have today. And truly, his hand is against every man, and every man's hand is against him. And that's the way it is today. The Sahih al-Bukhari is considered the one authorized of most of the what's called the Hadith. The Hadith is the sayings of Muhammad. And what the Hadith is, it's a collection. Some of them have over 3 million, but they've been reduced to about 6,000 here. And the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sunnah is the actions of Muhammad. These three things constitute what is called Sharia law. And we need to understand that. But let me read what Bukhari has to say. Allah, Apostle, the blessed and peace of Allah be upon him, said, know that paradise is under the shades of swords. Swords. What do you think that's talking about? In the 7th century, it's talking about warfare. They believe that paradise, heaven, the only way that you can get to heaven, the only assured way in Islam, is to die as a martyr in jihad or holy war. That's your only assurance of salvation. You can work all you want, but that doesn't guarantee that you're going to be saved under Allah. It's all up to Him and His mercy. But you can guarantee your salvation in Islam if you are killed as a martyr. You say, why do these people do what they do and blow themselves up? Because they want to go to paradise and get what's called 72 houris, or virgins, who are perpetual virgins. And that's the only way they are assured of salvation. So they're willing to die. And you see that all the time when they start killing themselves off and blowing people up. The Quran has to say this, but when the forbidden months are past, then fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them, and seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them in every stratagem of war. And that's in the Quran, which is called Surah chapter 9, verse 23. And there's many of them there. And there's also, if you go into the Sunnah or the Hadith, you will find that there are these kind of sayings in there, amplifying what the Quran has to say. Let me tell you a little bit about paradise. Women, there's no place in it for you. You're out of luck. You may get there, but what are you going to do? It's a man's place. They're the ones that get all the virgins. They get two wives. They get virgins. But what does it say that a woman gets? It doesn't say. In all the readings that I've read, it doesn't say. So guess what? Ladies, what the Quran has to say and what the Hadith has to say is that most problems come from the horse or from the woman. Also, all the problems that happen in your tent as a man are based on the problems of a woman or a horse. You see where your status is in Islam. You are a piece of property. When we get into this kind of situation, if you want to call it that way, and you look at it in Islam, I tried to get the best books, their highest authorities I've been collecting, to see what they really had to say and to quote them, because then they have no rebuttal against it, because that's what they have to go by. Sir William Muir, he was a great Orientalist who lived between 1819 and 1905, and I've got three of his books, has this to say when it comes to Islam, that the sword of Muhammad and the Quran are the most fatal enemies of civilization, liberty, and truth which the world has yet known. Some of this you've heard before when I spoke at PERS. But these are the fundamental things that those who may not have heard need to know. Benjamin Netanyahu, you know who he is, right? A former prime minister of Israel, had this to say. Right after September 20th, 2001, after the bombing of 9/11, had this to say. What is at stake is nothing less than the survival of our civilization. There may be some who would have thought a week ago that to talk in these these final terms, but speak of it in these final terms, was to engage in reckless exaggeration. See, we back before then, we said this would never happen here. I heard that all the time. This stuff was never, it's never happened here. You know, we're America. Everybody loves us. It won't happen here. But then what happens? We are fighting. It says, no longer are we, no longer can we think this way, because we are all targets. Mark Gabriel, who was a Muslim, lived in Egypt, and a member of what's called the Al-Azhar University, which is the greatest Islamic university in the world, is what they say. And it is the one who teaches all the scholars in Islamic law. He took a sabbatical, and he went to Iran. And when he went to Iran, he looked and found another Quran that had a chapter more than his Quran. The problem was, if the Quran is the final word of God, how come there's another one with another chapter? He had a problem with that. So he was a teacher at the university, a teacher in history, Islamic history. So he went back and asked one of his professors that, you know, what's this all about? 2 o'clock in the morning, the Islamic police break into his building or his house, arrest him, and put him in prison for heresy, for leaving the faith. He never said he left the faith. He asked the question, how come there's another chapter in the Quran? So they tortured him. They said they put him in a room with a dog that hadn't eaten in weeks. And they thought the dog would kill him. Dog never touched him. They put him in water up to here and put rats on him. Rats never bothered him. So anyway, he lost his job. He was thrown out of the university. And so he was having a nervous breakdown. So what happened? He went down to a pharmacist who happened to be a Christian and gave him a Bible and pointed him out to what Jesus had to say in the parables and the Sermon on the Mount. What happened? The Lord saved him. So what happened then? He went home and told his parents his father got a gun and tried to kill him. So he fled the house, went to his sisters. When he left his sisters, a couple met him and stabbed him a number of times in the street. Oh, can you see what happens if you say anything against Christ? Am I just speaking against the Quran? Speaking about Muhammad? Speaking about Sharia law? I can have a fatwa on me. A fatwa is a legal document that says, kill this man, he's a heretic. And to speak against Islam is heresy. It's blasphemy. And the penalty for that under Islamic law is death. So anyway, we take a look at things, and what you really find is the greatest victims of Islam are the Muslims themselves, because they're, in most cases, born into the religion. You're born into it, you have no say. You are a Muslim, and if you try to leave the religion, the penalty is death. So a Muslim has a lot to lose if he converts. Even here in this United States, he's going to lose his family. Who knows? They may kill him. These things go on. But it needs to be understood that Muslims and Islam have persecuted Christians for 13 centuries. And they're still doing it today. What happens are not only amongst Christians. How many remember what happened to Lieutenant General Boykin? He went and spoke to a church group. He was a lieutenant general at the time. And he spoke about what he knew about Islam. He had to resign from the army because of that. Israel today is facing a major crisis. How many are following on the news what's going on with over there with Libya, Egypt? There's turmoil in Libya, in Egypt, in Yemen, in Syria. These all surround Israel. My understanding is secretly that we have now special forces going into Libya. Think about that. These two men, Gaddafi, who's totally against the United States, But he also is not a friend of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mubarak had put the kibbutzes on the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood was founded in 1928 in Cairo, Egypt, as a response to the fall of the Ottoman Empire and the end of what is called the Caliphate. The religious leaders of Islam. So they came up and started problems. And we'll get into that. But what is Islam? Here's what their writer has to say. A comprehensive book of Islam by Altaf Akari defines Islam as total submission to God. It is primarily, in the primary sense of the word, Islam, which is derived from Al-Lama, signifies submission to the will of God Almighty. That such submission be total and complete is specifically demanded by Allah. Here's the Quran says, O ye who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. A Muslim is required to submit his whole life to Allah, and devotion to Allah must be complete, pure, and sincere. Anyone who enters into the fold of Islam or claims to be a Muslim has to obey Allah in all matters. Acceptance of some of his commands and non-acceptance of others is simply out of the question. So you're supposed to be ruled by the Quran. And that ruling just doesn't come by the Quran. It comes by what is known again as Sharia law. That's what they live under, is Sharia law. Islam and Terrorism by Mark Gabriel says this. Islam means submission. The word Muslim means one who submits to Allah. The Quran says you cannot be a true Muslim unless you submit. And he quotes the same scripture. James Garlow writes and says this. It is a legal system, a political force, a military regime, and a complete culture in itself, and it is totally totalitarian. The Quran and Islam believes that all land, period, belongs to them. Not just the Middle East, but all land is given to them by Allah, and they're to possess all land and bring into effect Sharia law on all land and to establish the caliphate again. Every Islamic organization that you will find, this is the creed that they have to operate by. Now, many people are upset with what our Osama bin Laden did when he took care of the buildings in New York, because they said he was premature. You have to do all the work first, then do that. So what they're doing now is doing all the subversive work now. That's what they are doing. So either, when we look at things, that you either belong to what's called the House of Islam, Dar al-Islam, which means that you are under Sharia law, and Islam is the government in power and the religion in power, or you are under the House Dar al-Harb, which means the House of War. There's only two. You're either under Islam, or you're a part of the House of War, an unbeliever. And it is their job to bring you into Islam. But let's go on again. theories of Islamic law by Naziz. He's one of their scholars on Islamic law. Islam is generally acknowledged is a complete code of life, and at the core of this code is the law of Islam. You've read or heard about all the beheadings that's been going on, about the cutting off of arms, about the stoning of women for adultery. What they believe is that the problem is today why Islam is weak is because they are not following the law of Sharia. They're not doing it. Some Muslims aren't. In some countries, they've mixed their law with what is called English common law or European law. And they're looking to bring back pure Islamic law to all of us. The problem is, if this nation is under Sharia law, guess what? If you're not a Muslim, you got no say. You got no recourse under their government. You can't accept the word of someone that's not Muslim. Just think about it. Fella doesn't like you. Your husband doesn't like you. He can beat you. He can beat you all you want. How many have heard about the court cases that have been going on here in the United States? About a man raping his wife, taking it to court, and the judge says, well, it belongs in Sharia law. And just what? A week or so ago in Florida, a judge again said, hey, you know, your case needs to be under Sharia law. What law are we under here in this country? Aren't we under the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States? This Sharia law is totally against our Constitution, totally against our Declaration of Independence, and wants to bring them down and replace it with Sharia law. The Muslim Brotherhood, let me start with them. The Muslim Brotherhood is tied up into about every organization that is Islamic here in this country. Just think about that. About every organization that's here is involved in the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's the Muslim Brotherhood worldwide. What are we fearing today? What will happen if Egypt falls and Mubarak is gone? Who do you think is going to fill the void? If Gaddafi is gone, who do you think is going to fill the void? Muslim Brotherhood. And what do they want? They want war against Israel. Look at all this country. Yemen, it circles all the way around. Syria, all these countries around are trying to force Sharia law back into its activity. They even went after Saudi Arabia. That's odd because they're mostly Wahhabis, and that's what they want anyway, but they don't like the king in power. There was a poll taken by the Saudi Arabian intelligence organization. And the question was, do you support Osama bin Laden or against him? 95% of all people who responded said, we support Osama bin Laden. Saudi Arabia finances about 80% of the mosque here in America. To get the financing for your mosque, you have to accept the Wahhabi teaching, which is violent against the United States. Just think about that. So all the mosques, what do you think they teach on Fridays when they have the Friday sermons? They teach the overthrow of the United States. The Muslim Brotherhood in the United States has taken written material, textbooks, and put into the madrasas, the schools for children, and teach them Sharia law and the overthrow of the United States and the downfall of Christians, because one of the first things they teach in history is about the Crusades. You'll hear the Crusades. You know why Billy Graham kept quit saying, you know, the Crusades that he'd have? Because the Muslims get after him. You can't say that. How many remember Major, what's his name, Nadal Hassan at Fort Hood, Texas? Remember him? As he killed 13 people, he was yelling, "Allahu Akbar." He was the imam for Fort Hood. But you know, when he was arrested, you know what he was charged with? Murder. He was not charged with terrorism, because it's not allowed to do that in the military. Not allowed to do that anymore. Because there is a committee that, how can I say that, that deals with the language for the military and our law enforcement, so that we will use words appropriate to Islam and not to say anything against Islam or the Muslims. So that's why you don't see those words anymore. And guess what? You know what that makes us? That makes us what's called dhimmis. That puts us under subjugation to Islam, because the fact that we are complying to their blasphemy laws by doing that. Amazing, isn't it? There was a man who was a Muslim, I think he's Al-Mahmoudi is his name, who we talk about penetration of our highest levels of government. He was at the White House. He funded stuff for President Bush during his administration. And he also formed the organization that selects Muslim chaplains for our military services. He was arrested in the UK for having over $300,000 to fund jihad activities. Think about that. Jihad activities. They realized that he spent over, or had collected over $1 million over the time to fund jihad activities. Highest point in the government. He's now serving 23 years in one of the called maximum, supermax facilities. But guess what? His organization still selects the chaplains for our United States military. One of those chaplains, named James Lee, was at Guantanamo. And he was arrested for supporting jihadists at Guantanamo. Go, you see where this is going? The slow infiltration into the schools, infiltration into the organizations. There was, in Texas, I don't know if you heard of the Holy Land Foundation. It was a charitable foundation. It was busted in 2007 for financing Hamas and other organizations. And in that, they found a explanatory referendum, or memorandum, excuse me. And that memorandum stated out what the Muslim Brotherhood was supposed to do, and all these other organizations that it listed in their operation here in the United States. One of the organizations is called CAIR. How many of you heard of CAIR? CAIR. It's the Council of American Islamic Relations. It's operating today. It was a co-conspirator in this, but it's still operating today. It's unimpeded today. They decided to launch a different type of jihad. Not the one that blows up building, but to take down the government and internally things within. How many have heard of the banking company, I guess it is, AIG? Guess what? They finance these guys. Oh, I didn't hear that.
Keep going.
They finance these guys. There's a bank that is an Islamic bank. They're the ones that, through Saudi Arabia here in the United States, funnels the money out to these organizations to build mosques. But they also work through AIG to sell their products, Sharia products. And AIG is a big supporter of it. And there's a list of other ones that support them. So what's happening is our laws are being subverted, brought down. And what do we set back here? And our government knows all about this. That's why I call it willful blindness. There's none so blind as he who will not see. That's the problem. Is it because of fear that if we do something about it, that there will be repercussions? How many Muslims do we have in this country today? Amazing. There's some good people out there who are Muslims. But we have to understand what Islam and Sharia is. The Muslim Brotherhood has this as a code, a creed. God is our objective, the Quran is our law, the Prophet is our leader, jihad is our way, and death for the sake of Allah is the highest of our aspirations. They can lie, they can use subterfuge, they've infiltrated our CIA, they've infiltrated the FBI, the FBI sent a Muslim to have a sting on another Muslim group, and he came back and says, I won't do it because I'm not going to tell on another Muslim. Does he belong in the FBI? Friends, this is what's happening. That's why you hear, if you are a speak out against Islam, it's, oh, Islamophobia, a phobia, right? Or you are misinformed, or you are a racist, or a bigot. They do this to shut you down to what they're doing. It's not a religion. It's a totalitarian form of government that is going to do whatever it takes to replace our form of government with Sharia law and to establish the caliphate. Israel is not the great Satan. We are the great Satan. We are the ones, most of all, they want to bring down. And a lot of this happened, and a lot of this started, I can't say started, but was perpetuated after the Gulf War, because of our influence in Saudi Arabia, in the countries around there, Iraq, Afghanistan. We are an infidel in their holy land. And remember, all land belongs to them. So I hope maybe I've brought a little bit of information that will help you. It's a lot to know. I could bring you about Muhammad and where it all started. But friend, we need to know what's happening here. We need to know what's going on now in this place, that we be informed, because this country may go. Israel may go to war with what's going on. I don't see much out of their being able to avoid it. Europe, they say, will be Muslim, Islamic, in the next 55 years. Great Britain has already allowed Sharia law in all civil matters. And they've already drawn up plans for making Buckingham Palace a mosque. Don't let us bury our head in the sand. It takes Christ to save a Muslim. And the Bible tells us to preach the gospel not just to one type of person, but to everyone. This is the best opportunity and the best country to do that in, is here in America. Thank you.